Yeah, I mean, okay, some of the stuff you said about him is cute, but...
Yeah, but he's a murderer.
He is.
Absolutely. He's total murderer.
Welcome to Reluctant Adults. A podcast by me, Lauren Crace, and him, Tim Warwood.
Hello! Yes, what you're about to listen to right now is an audio dissection into the lives of two good mates, work colleagues, but more importantly, parents.
Now, these audio offerings serve as a kind of self-help guide as we go through our day-to-day lives, begrudgingly bringing up our kids.
This is Reluctant Adults, episode number 10, Pets. Should we call it heavy petting?
Heavy petting. It's nothing to do with heavy petting, though, is it?
No, but it might mean that people click on it and like,
oh, because they might think it's going to be really sexy, but in actual fact, it's just about rodents.
People might think it's fingering in swimming pools.
Maybe. Let's give it a go.
This is Reluctant Adults, episode number 10, Pets. Talking of which, did you hear him?
I was going to say I did. Was that your cat?
That's Ozzy coming through the cat flap, right on cue. How about that? So how are you doing? Welcome back to this little podcast of mine and Lauren's. We've had a week off to collect our thoughts. We had a week off actually to celebrate the kids going back to school.
Because we were so drunk the whole week, my God. We couldn't know the subject.
We actually were. Hey, so do you know what we did on Friday, the last day of homeschooling? We had a rave. My little sister phoned me up in the morning and she's like, what are you doing at 4 o'clock? And me and Lucy like, nothing, why? She said, should we jump on Zoom and the kids can have a little disco? Me and Lucy were like, yeah, that's a great idea. So by the time we ended up getting around and turning Zoom on, it was about half four. It was about half four in the afternoon. So my little sister and her daughter, her wife and their newborn baby. Then actually my sister-in-law, Joe, her brother and his two kids down in London. And then me and my three kids, not Lila. She's too old and too cool to be dancing around in front of a screen now. But the two little ones. So I turned on all the disco lights. I did a job once, and rather than get paid in money, I got paid in disco bulbs.
Of course you did.
Big mistake. Couldn't pay the mortgage 4 months later being a freelancer, but I did have disco lights. So I turned all the disco lights on, and we had a little bit of a Zoom disco. Well, we opened up a bottle of Prosecco that we had left over from literally our wedding.
So
we cranked open the Prosecco. Started having a few drinks, really enjoying it. Next thing I know, I'm online ordering Domino's pizza. Next thing I know, it's 8:30 at night and me and Lucy are still dancing to Sandstorm, Darude, in the living room. We danced for 4 hours in the
living room. Were you hammered?
Yes, absolutely hammered.
Because Prosecco for me just immediately means vom.
Does it?
Can't drink it now.
It's a headache in a bottle is what it does to me.
It's just sick. Did your kids dance the whole time or did they just leave mum and dad to it and just disappeared?
They were like leaving mum and dad to it and disappearing. And we kept messaging my little sister because my little sister gave up about 6:30. So she could only manage 2 hours. But 4 hours in, we were still going strong and like loving it. It was ace.
Well, it was months in the making that night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
So they've been back at school now, what, a week and a half?
Back at school a week.
Are you feeling less like you're on the verge of a mental breakdown?
100%. Yeah, yeah. Feel so much calmer and the kids. So in all fairness, Sunny only does 3 days at nursery, but those 3 days when we're completely childless, it's like a reset. It's incredible. It's so good.
What are you filling your days with?
Nothing.
You're just watching telly?
Literally nothing. I don't know. I do bits and bobs. I geek out on my computer for a bit. I think about doing DIY. Finally got round to re-siliconing the shower. So at least now the shower doesn't leak. So that's quite good.
Good.
Had a skate on my skateboard ramp.
Did you? On your own?
On my own, yeah. It's quite bad when you fall over and hurt yourself, though, and you're lying there on your own in your back garden.
Yeah, but at least no one's laughing at you.
That is true. That is true. So, yeah, no, just been cruising, really. It's been nice. I had a week off. But then also I went back to our old haunt, didn't I? I went and did some radio, breakfast radio for a week.
Oh, that's true. So, you didn't get much of a rest last week, did you?
No, but I tell you what, it was nice to come back from doing radio and then not having any kids there. But I tell you what I found really hard, much harder than when we did radio 2 years ago, is that I think those 2 years of my kids growing up, it's like when I was doing radio, the kids were showered, washed and in bed for 6 o'clock, you know, because they were babies back then, but they're not babies anymore. They're still scraping their fingers through the mud outside at 6 o'clock, and
oh yeah,
they've not even eaten dinner some nights by six. So
well, the mud is their dinner, isn't it?
Well, exactly, yeah. So I was just about getting them to bed for kind of 8 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock, and then you'd be like so shell-shocked, be like, I've got to go to bed, I've got to go, because I'm up again in 6 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, but no, it was all right, it was good. Wasn't as enjoyable without you, Chris. I'm not going to lie.
Obviously.
Bit rubbish on your own. But yeah, there we go. Just a week.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're in a better, happier place.
Welcome back. Tim and Lauren here. Episode 10. Do make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Then you'll have the latest update in your podcast app as soon as it drops. Your choice this week. And I think it's a brilliant choice for you.
It's a good one for me, isn't it?
You've had all the pets. You've got all the pets, haven't you?
I've got a lot. Shall I tell you what I've currently got?
Yeah, let's start with that.
So I've currently got Jessie the dog.
Yeah.
I've also got...
Big pet.
So that's our major big pet. We've also got fish in the pond.
Nice.
Then we've also
How many fish?
It's hard to tell.
Is this an outdoor pond?
Yeah. No.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This,
pond.
This is yeah.
An indoor.
Idiot.
An indoor
it's
pond
not indoor
would just be
pond.
Weird. That would be weird.
What sort of house do you think I've got to have an indoor pond? It's not grand designs. My outdoor pond. So I did have 7 fish. But there was a moment during that very cold spell a few weeks ago where the pond was completely frozen over. And I was smashing it open, trying to save the life of my fish with a plant pot. and I have to say, I don't know if they survived the freeze.
Well, I think they don't mind cold water, do they? But it is actually the oxygen.
They need oxygen. So if it's completely frozen over. So what you're meant to do and what we do actually is you... Well, I say this is what you're meant to do. This is what Michael told me, so I don't know if it's true. You're meant to put a tennis ball in your pond. So if it... In winter, so if it freezes over... I don't know what the tennis ball does, but that's what you're meant to do. But that didn't work because we had a tennis ball and the tennis ball was just frozen in the ice.
I was going to say, surely it just freezes.
Yeah,
like...
it did. I don't know. I don't know what the tennis ball thing is. You're
supposed to knock it out maybe or something.
Oh, maybe that's what I was meant to do, not hammer the ice with a plant pot. I don't know. So I don't know if we've got any fish. I should check. But what we have got is I found a couple of mating frogs in my garden.
Stop it.
In like a big plastic bucket.
What, you caught them in the
Not
act?
Not in the pond.
You caught them in the act?
Yeah, they looked really shocked. There was one clinging on the back of the other one, really cold and on tight.
Really?
Yeah, so I was like, I'm really ever so sorry, lads, but I need this plastic bucket. And there's a pond over there.
Well, we've literally just justified the heavy petting title of this
there
show.
There you are, yeah. Exactly. So I did pick up the 2 frogs whilst they were doing the deed. So I hope it didn't put them off. And then I try to be very gentle with them and I just move them and put them in the pond. So I'm hoping we'll have some frog spawn.
Wowzers.
Soon. Yeah, like proper nature in our house. Then also upstairs, I've got three fish in Jack's bedroom, one of which is blind because another fish ate its eye.
What?
Yeah, it's got one eye. And when you put food in, it just like swims into the glass. Can't find the food. So you have to feed it and then you have to like poke food in its direction. So they're in Jack's room. And then we've also got Spot, our second hamster, in Jack's room. And we've now, our newest animal arrival is our two gerbils that are in the girls' room.
Where the hell do you live? Pets R Us.
I wish I did.
Do you like Pets R Us? Do you like the shop?
I love a pet shop.
What's it called? We're a member of it. The green one with the little fob and you can...
Pets at home. So shall I talk you through the first pet we had as the part of the Cray Stevenson household?
I think that's good. Let's start with first pets.
So the first pet that joined our house. This isn't my pets as a child. This is first pet in my family with the three kids house.
Cool.
So this first pet arrived and this first pet was a rabbit. Apparently a dwarf flop-eared rabbit.
Nice.
This rabbit appeared for my 28th birthday present. That might seem like oh, that's sweet, but I already had a 18-month-year-old and I was pregnant at the time with two more babies. But Michael, my husband, thought what she needs is probably another thing to clean poo from and feed.
And look after.
So I know... For her 28th birthday, I will buy her a dwarf rabbit that actually, Michael, ended up not being dwarf. It was really, really quite large.
It was like the tale of the people that buy the little miniature pigs and they end up full-size pigs.
This rabbit was enormous. It was probably the size of, my dog was at about 6 months old. So this rabbit appears. Oh, also on this birthday, not only did Michael buy me a rabbit, he bought me a iPhone charger and he bought me one of those £1 coin key rings for your trolley, for the Asda trolley. That's what he got me for my 28th birthday.
Covering all bases there, isn't he? He's giving you something to love. He's keeping you connected and practical, something practical.
After that birthday, he's never bought me anything practical ever again. I was absolutely raging.
I bet he wasn't. Well, I'll tell you something. I'd never buy Lucy another butter dish. You only do that once.
So that's where the animals started.
Okay.
With rabbit.
Hey, but did you, what was it, a boy or a girl? What was its name?
It was a boy rabbit. We called him Colin. I called him Colin.
And did you love Colin? Was he addition?
No, I did. He was initially a house rabbit, but he became too smelly.
Well, he outgrew it. He outgrew the house.
And Michael went, it's all right. You only have to clean him once a week. This rabbit was so stinky. So in the end, I went and bought a hutch and I shoved him in the garden. But that ended up being the demise of Colin because, unfortunately, the hutch, I think, had a dodgy hook on the door. So Colin didn't last. No, Colin probably lasted about a year or two.
Oh.
And then that's when Colin moved to Tenerife.
Okay. On Fox's Airlines, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And he would send regular postcards to Jack. So he was really keeping in touch with us, which was sweet.
Well done. Really kind of him.
Then we decided that rabbits were not the one for us. So then we moved on to smaller creatures. And next we got... Oh, no, we didn't. We moved on to bigger creatures. We got Jesse, the dog, next.
Did you?
Yeah.
So at any point, have the kids requested any of these pets?
It's an interesting question, Tim, because the answer to that is no. I was thinking about that earlier. They genuinely haven't.
So at no point have the kids ever asked, wanted, it's like, oh Christ, mom's got another bloody hamster again.
So I always get them for the kids under the like guise that they're for the kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's important for kids to have pets.
Oh, it really is.
It's really important for them to learn how to love and nurture and look after something. That's why I say I buy them, but really, I just love buying pets. And absolutely, like, truthfully, I do prefer my pets to the human family. We do go to the pet shop a lot because, as far as I'm concerned, it's like a free zoo. So it's a good place to take kids, and it does fill an hour. And at our pet shop, there's a talking parrot called Max. So you can stand with Max for a good 25 minutes sometimes, just going, hello, hello. and often that is just what we do. This was about 4 weeks ago. I took the girls to... W.H. Smith's to buy a treat. I was going to buy them. It was after school on a Friday. And I said, let's have an end of week treat. Let's go and buy a magazine. So we went to W.H. Smith's and they didn't really have any magazines they wanted. And it was just a bit crap in there. And then as I do, I went, well, we're out. Let's go and have a look in the pet shop. Let's have a look. So I went into the pet shop and we bought dog food because that's what we needed. And then while I was in there, I thought, I got it in my head, maybe it's unfair that Jack has a hamster and the girls don't have a hamster. And then I was looking at these hamsters and they were all sold out. And instead of being an adult and going, well, they're sold out, so you can't have an hamster... Instead, what I did is I just moved my eye line slightly to the right, away from the sold hamsters to where the next animals were, which happened to be gerbils. So before I knew it, I had the man over and they were opening the cage and we were like holding the gerbils and we bought two gerbils. And this is all in the like... This all happened in about 3 minutes. And the girls didn't even want... I mean, they don't say they don't want them, but they didn't ask for them. But I think
the gerbils are so wildly different to hamsters. They're bigger. They look like rats almost. They're like smaller rats, aren't they?
I mean, I have to say, I don't normally like to admit my mistakes when it comes to pets. I generally think that all the pets in my house have been a good
addition.
A good addition, that's the word.
Yeah.
I do think that. But I haven't actually said this to anyone else in my house yet. I do think the gerbils were a bad idea. I was sold on them because the thing with hamsters, you can only have one because they're cannibals. They eat each other.
Yeah.
So
horrific.
Obviously, the twins, if I got them one hamster, I thought, well, this is just going to be a blooming nightmare, isn't it? They're just going to fight over this hamster. And then when the woman said, oh, gerbils like to live in pairs, I went, well, perfect, because I've got a pair at home. And that means they get one animal each. So, yeah, we'll have them. And so we had these two girls. But they're so fast. We can't catch them.
Really?
Like, we literally can't catch them. And another mistake is we bought two that look exactly the same. So we have got absolute, you know, the poor girls have named their hamsters Dusty and Blue, right?
Yeah.
And we ain't got a clue which is Dusty and which is Blue.
Really?
We know one of them is slower because one we can catch and the other one we have never held since the day we bought it. So now, and Emmy being like the dominant twin, right? Emmy's decided the one that we can catch is her gerbil, Blue. So as far as Isla is concerned, you're never going to hold your gerbil, Isla, because your gerbil's too fast. So Isla thinks she's never even held her own pet.
I do
think they were a mistake because now we've just got these two gerbils that we just stare at through a plastic cage. The good thing is they're not as noisy as hamsters.
Oh, okay.
So if you ask him my tips of what pet to get, if you want a quieter pet, gerbils are great. But if you want to have a pet to hold, never get a gerbil. That's my top tips to any parents out there.
This could lead us very seamlessly into the pets that I have in my house. I mean, we haven't even touched on Jessie yet, your little dog. But if perhaps at some point... Well, I was just going to say, if at some point...
Because you used to have rabbits.
Used to have rabbits. We've had goldfish. But I'm... okay. Let's start at the start, shall we? So, like you, I also feel that pets are a good thing for children because they teach them to love and nurture and clean and responsibilities, life and death. You get to learn all of that kind of stuff. But actually, all children learn from that is that they get shouted at for not cleaning them out and not helping with. Mm. Certainly Lila does anyway. But we bought the very first pet, had rabbits as kids, had loads of rabbits as kids that just mated and mated and mated. And my mom and dad were just giving them away at the school gates like they were bags of sweets. They were literally just couldn't give them away quick enough. Rabbits came with, never had a dog, never had a cat, we lived on a very busy road. And my mom and dad were adamant we'd never have dogs and cats. Always loved dogs, always loved cats. Bit more of a cat man personally. But when we got Lila, we thought, we'll get a cat. We'll finally get a cat. And we got Luther. And now when I say Luther was the best cat in the world, well, was the best cat in the world, he was. He would run up your leg, somehow like jump up you and sit on your shoulder like a parrot when he was a kitten. He was so cool. He'd like dangle around your neck like a cat scarf. He'd let you do anything to him. He was the cutest, most nicest cat. He'd turn around and be on the lampshade somehow. He'd just, one of those cats that just did amazing, cool stuff, was super cool, but did indeed fulfill the prophecy because when we moved back from London, we moved into the house that I grew up in as a kid, which my mum and dad were like, no, we're not having any animals. The road's too busy.
Oh, no.
But of course, got squidged, didn't he?
Oh, no,
got squidged on the road. Yeah. And that taught Lila the whole life and death thing. It taught her, well, actually, she was completely unaffected. Me and Lucy, on the other hand, were absolutely beside ourselves with grief. And she was able to look at us and see the kind of effect that grief has on you.
I can't get on with cats. I just can't do it. If I'm honest, I don't trust people prefer cats to dogs? And I absolutely...
Well, hang on. So you don't trust me?
I think there must... There's something genuinely that I think a human being's got to be slightly off if they prefer a cat to a dog. I think it says a lot about a human being. I do. I'm being booed at now by all the cat lovers out there.
Literally.
But it's true.
You've got to be careful, man. Have you not seen the Netflix show? Don't fuck with cats?
I have. No, I know. That's what I mean. They're mad people.
They are mad. They are mad.
I just think cats are just so mean. And you never know where you stand with them. When I was at drama school, my mate, her auntie, had... a cat, and this cat was so posh, it was called Indy, right? And yeah. Then my friend's auntie got two pugs. I think it was two or one. Anyway, got a dog, introduced this dog into the house, and Indy just went ape shit. So she got rid of Indy and gave it to my mate. But we lived in, like, the rough end of, like, North London in Harrogate, in this place called Turnpike Lane. We couldn't be having a cat called Indy. So we renamed this cat Catface. And this cat was so evil. It was horrible. Like, you'd be stroking it and it would make out that it was your mate. And then the next thing you know, it would double claw you around your face. Honestly,
was it like the cat out of 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah, evil little bitch. Apparently it's nice now because it's moved to Pembrokeshire and it lives in the countryside. Not joking, lives in Wales now.
Still alive?
Yeah, cat, yeah. This is 10 years ago. Wow. So it must be dead. Maybe it's nice because it's dead old, but I just don't trust them. I understand why people have cats because they're easier than... dogs. So I get it.
They're a quarter of the effort.
Yeah,
the
I get
is.
It. So I do understand why people have them, but I don't understand people that would say they like them more than a dog.
Yeah.
Because dogs just love you.
Ozzy loves me, though.
Ozzy's a dickhead.
He's not. He's the best.
He's an evil murderer. He goes out and he brings back poor... He's not even a murderer. He's like... He doesn't... Do you know what? He doesn't even kill them. That's worse. He tortures them.
Yeah, he like kidnaps them. kidnaps animals and brings them in. And we've fished all kinds of birds out the front room that are sitting up on the window ledges and up on the curtains. Quaking.
What do you do?
He's ever so proud with himself.
Exactly.
So, I did a filming thing the other day with a cat woman in South Africa. Did it over Zoom. It was for this BBC Studios thing we were doing. It's called Asking for a Friend. It's these little short films that we're doing. And so I was chatting to this cat lady and I was telling her about Ozzy. I said, oh, I've got a cat, you know, and he's pretty bad at killing. And she's like, oh, that's so lovely.
What?
She went, oh, that's so lovely. Well, you know that every time your cat kills, he's bringing it for you. He's feeding you. That's why your cat kills. He kills and brings it in because he thinks that you need feeding and it means that he loves you. And one thing you should do is thank your cat profusely.
Oh,
and
say, thank you so much.
Ozzy brings a bird in. I'm like, Ozzy, no! Ozzy, no! Get out!
I'll
wing him outside.
That is such a naff excuse. I hate it when people say that. Oh, it's just a present for you. Oh, fuck off, it's not a present. It's just killed poor little innocent Robin. Do you give him like a smack on the head?
Robins are quite aggressive though. Very territorial.
Shut up! Robins are lovely.
Territorial.
Do you tell him off?
Anyway,
I would be really angry at him.
Aside from the killing, he's really nice.
Why, what else does he do that's nice?
He will let you stroke him.
And then sometimes he just claw your face.
He does, but that's playing. He's playing when he does
playing.
That.
He's just playing when he takes an eye out. It's just playing.
Well, you shouldn't have been playing with him so hard, should you?
Like, do you trust the kids with him? Because I wouldn't leave my kids. I'd leave my kids with a Rottweiler sooner than I'd leave my kids with a cat.
Oh, because we've had him since he was a kitten, and he's been around the kids since he was a kitten, I'll walk into the room and Ozzy will be lying on his side, being dragged through the kitchen by Sonny, by his tail. Oh. He's the most placid cat. He'll let them do anything. Like, the kids will pick him up under one arm and they'll walk it, and he's like going up the stairs, and he's... He does love the kids. And he sleeps on the kids' beds. He takes it in turns on which bed he sleeps on.
That is cute.
So he goes up to sleep with the kids. And when they're outside playing on the trampoline, we don't know where he goes somewhere in the day. He's either on a bed upstairs or he goes somewhere. He goes around the neighbourhood. He's cropped up on the Facebook, the local neighbourhood watch Facebook group a couple of times. Does anyone know this cat? Lady five doors up came out of her bathroom one day in a towel. She'd had a shower and he was sitting on the landing.
That freaks me out.
Yeah. So he goes in everyone's houses around and everyone knows he's ours. But if the kids are outside playing on the trampoline, they're screaming and going crazy and wild. 3 minutes and he'll appear from somewhere. He'll come and he'll start running around the trampoline and playing with them and jumping.
Yeah. So. I mean, okay, some of the stuff you said about him is cute, but...
Yeah, but he's a murderer.
He is.
Absolutely. He's total murderer. Talking about cats bringing in gifts, my little sister, Ali, because we grew up without pets, my little sister, Ali... also wasn't very good with pets. And when she got a bit older, her wife, Jo, they suggested, let's get a cat. So they're very eco-friendly. They're very Cambridge. They're very renewable energy. So they, of course, got a rescue cat.
Right.
One that, a pre-loved. So they got this cat. Came with a name, Seth.
Now, Seth. Steph?
No, but if I get a girl cat, I'm calling it Steph, because that is a great name. Talking of 90s name.
All the girls at my school were called Steph. Stephanie. Yeah, yeah.
Steph.
So not Steph. What was not it called?
Seth.
Oh, Seth. Sorry, yeah. Seth.
It was Ginger Tom. Didn't love them at first. Was it would come to feed and it would leave, and that was literally it. And they didn't, you know, they couldn't get it to love them or anything. But as time went on, this cat did indeed start to love Ali and Joe, very much so, and became very much a part of the family. And Seth loved them, loved the family, and he'll now come and sit on their laps, and he's very affectionate cat. Night times it's Netflix and chill and Seth, you know, he's there with them every night. But when Ali had their first child and Joe had the second child. So when Joe is in labour, Ali's looking after the household, and they've opted for a home birth. So Joe goes into labour. Ali blows up the indoor pool, the inflatable indoor pool. She starts filling the pool, and they've got a hose pipe from upstairs down into the lounge. And Ali's trying to put Robin to bed. She's trying to do dinner, and she loves a flap, my little sister. Loves a good flap. But again, going back to our childhood, she's not the greatest with pets, because we weren't brought up with pets as kids. But she does love Seth, but Seth is still a bit of an effort for Ali. So mid-labour now, pains are on. Joe wants into the, she wants in the pool to help with the relaxation. She's mid, the contractions are coming in thick and fast. Ali's panicking. The commotion is waking up Robin. So Robin is up and down the stairs. They're 4-year-old. Robin, get back to bed. No, what's Mama doing? No, don't worry. No.
Why is there a swimming pool in the living room?
Exactly, yeah. She's checking on her mom and wants to know why her mom's in pain and all this kind of thing. The baby's coming. It's all very exciting. And Ali's, you know, flapping, because Ali loves a good flap. She turns around and Seth obviously knows what's going on, because he's a cat and he wants to do his little bit. He brings in a rabbit and he's gone off into the fields at the back, collected a rabbit, and he's like, this is my time to do something for the family. And he dragged in a rabbit. So Ali's now going, no, Seth, out. And there's this.
Was it alive?
Dead. Dead rabbit. Dead. Yeah.
See what I mean? Cats are dickheads. What a selfish thing to do, trying to steal Joe's thunder. He's
trying to steal Joe's limelight.
Oh, you're having a babby, are you? Well, I've just got one of my own. Look, it's a dead bunny. Oh, no. So yeah, so cats are a no.
Cats are cats, aren't they? And that's what I quite like about them. They're just, they don't play up to anyone. They're their own people. If he wants to eat, he'll eat. I'll eat. Sometimes he looks at it and he's like, he'll look at it and he'll kind of look back at you as if to go, you think I'm eating that? I'm going to go up to number 32.
See, I was going to say, serving. I've got loads of good mates now around here. I'm just going to plod on down the road. Yeah, I mean.
But the kids love him and I love him.
All right, I'll stop dissing him.
But that is it. I mean, that is absolutely it. We're not getting any more. And actually, you said that your kids haven't actually asked for any pets. My kids are constantly asking for things.
Well, my kids ask for more dogs. Yeah, mine want more dogs.
Well, they need one each.
Well, I don't think we should get three, but I would get another one.
Would you?
Well, I know it's not the sensible thing to do.
Well, I think we've learned already that sense goes out the window when it comes to you and pets.
We got Jesse, so I have all my babies in autumn. So we had Jack in October, end of October 2012. We had the girls November 2014. And then along came the next 2 years, the autumn came, and I thought, well, we shouldn't have any more kids, should we, Mikes? Let's get a puppy. So, October 2016, in comes our newest member, and we get a dog. So, at the time, that seemed like a sensible thing, not to have another kid but get a dog. But actually, it was a terrible thing. But she's ace most of the time, apart from when she's been a dickhead.
It's the picking up warm poo I just don't think I can do. I love my back garden and I love the spontaneity of just running out barefoot to go and bounce on my trampoline.
No, you can't do that. And you know what else you can't do?
Go on.
If it snows and you don't realise it's going to snow, you can't go in your garden in the snow.
Oh, no way.
Because you don't know what's lurking underneath. So if you see it's going to snow, you've got to peg it out into the garden and pick up any of the dog poo before it settles.
Yeah, never. That is such a good, little hack, that. Yeah. I told you
that's what we're here for. Here to help.
Do any dogs poo, like, in a place? Or can you train a dog to poo in a place? You can train a dog to sniff out USB sticks. You can train dogs to
dogs
detect
cancer.
Forms of cancer, Christ's sake. And yet you can't teach them to shit in one place. Like, what's the deal?
The thing is, Tim, you probably can train them to shit in one place, but we can't even train our dog to not bark when someone walks past the house. Like, our dog is like such a neighbourhood slut.
Really?
She's so gagging to get out the front door because she loves people. So as soon as you open the front door, she's gone. And sometimes you realise she's gone. Sometimes you don't realise she's gone. Really? So quite often you get a little on your front door and there's a neighbour there with your dog going, we've just found Jessie in the middle of the road. You're like, oh, thanks for that. I didn't even realise she's gone. So our risk of losing her is quite high. But luckily, she does know her way back, because sometimes we just hear her barking out the front and we're like, oh, hello, mate. In you come. Did I tell you what had happened to Spot last weekend?
No. What?
So Spot, because it's a rodent and they're nocturnal, normally when you put Jack to bed, he's like really loud, going around his hamster cage, being really noisy. And at night you can hear him and you're like, oh, shut up. So I noticed that when I was putting Jack to bed and the cage is just below, by the side of Jack's bed, it was just there, by all the fluff, but it wasn't moving, it wasn't making any noise. And so I just had a feeling, so I just opened the cage without Jack knowing and I put my hand in to touch him. And like normally when you poke a hamster, they sort of jerk a bit. And I touched him and he didn't move and he was ice cold.
Oh no.
I know. And I was like, oh my, and it was, you know, it was bedtime and Saturday night, and I was like, oh my God, oh no, he's dead. Oh, not again. So like, I literally grabbed it, got it out while I was putting Jack to bed and just held it low down so that Jack couldn't see it. And I was holding this ice cold, like frozen hamster. And I was like, all right, Jack, night. And then I left the room and then Michael was in the hallway and I just like whispered and I went, Spot's dead. He's dead. So I'm holding this hamster and then Jack comes out of the bedroom. So then I'm like, and then I'm hiding it. And Jack's and Michael's like, oh, where are you going, Jack? And he's like, I just need to wait. Okay. Oh. And then we start talking to each other really loudly so that we can know where Jack is so he doesn't see the hamster. But then all of a sudden, this hamster does this little, just tiny little move.
What? He's still alive?
Yeah. Well, so then I go, Mike's. He's not dead, but he's dying. He's dying slowly. And he's like, okay, go downstairs. So then I'm like vigorously rubbing this hamster to keep it warm. I'm like rubbing it on its back. I'm like basically giving it CPR. I am moments away from doing mouth to mouth on this rodent.
Yeah.
And I'm rubbing it and I'm rubbing it to try and get it warm. And I take it downstairs and it's starting to move more. And then I start feeding it, but the hamster's eyes are closed. He can't see, so he's blind. So I'm trying to like feed it and the hamster is like moving its head around and it doesn't know where the food is. No. So I feel like I'm looking after like an old age, like old person in a care home, but it's actually a hamster. So then I'm trying to feed this hamster food, just trying to do anything to keep it alive. Then I text my sister-in-law, who's a vet, and I go, I think the hamster's dying, but is there any chance to domestic hamsters, do they hibernate? And she said, well, they do occasionally. If they get really cold, they go into a hibernation, but it most probably is dying. She was like, so just, but you know, to try and keep it warm. So I got a hot water bottle, a really expensive fluffy hot water bottle from the White Company. And I fill it up and then I place this hamster on top of the hot water bottle with a blanket over it. And the bloody hamster comes back to life.
Oh, my goodness.
So I sat with this hamster watching Spiral, like French detective series. And he's just sat there on this hot water bottle living the bloody dream. and he comes back to life.
You brought a dead hamster back from the ashes.
Do you know what happened then? So I text my mom in this panic and I'm going, Mom, oh no, Spot's dying. I'm going to have to tell Jack. And then I'm giving her updates and I'm sending her pictures of Spot. Then she texts me and goes, did we ever tell you that we once buried your hamster because we thought it was dead? But then we went out to a party and someone at the party told us it was probably hibernating. So we ran back home and we dug it up from the garden and thank the Lord we did because it was just asleep.
Your parents buried your hamster.
They buried it in the garden because they found exactly like Spot. They found it.
Oh my God, that is
amazing.
Thought
it was dead, immediately buried it before they went out on the tiles, only to be told that it actually probably wasn't dead. And they ran home from the party to dig it up from the garden.
Oh my God, that is ace.
So I might actually retrain as a vet.
You're halfway there.
Aren't I? I can bring stuff back from the dead.
You wouldn't have brought our cat Luther back. He was
he flat?
He was nearly in half.
Would a hot water bottle and a vigorous rub not have done it?
Mate, I put him in. I had to put him in one of them blue IKEA bags, scrape him off the road. Slung him over the fence. In a moment of madness, I slung him over the fence. And then I had to phone my dad. And then I went away. I was working away. And then I phoned my dad. I was like, Dad, my cat. And I slung him over the fence. And all I can picture is his little body. And you need to go and get him. So my dad went and had to get him. Bearing in mind, I'm like 38 at the time. Dad had to go and get him. And then bring him home and bury him for me.
Why did you sling him over the fence?
I'd never experienced grief like it.
So if someone was to come to you and say, pets for kids, yes or no? If parents are listening to this and they're thinking about getting a dog or a cat or a rabbit, what would you suggest?
I'd first of all figure out, do you really want anything else in the house that breathes? That's where I'd start. And if the answer to that is yes, then I would then... Which one's the easiest to clean out? Because for all the goodwill and intention and pleading and begging, and I promise we'll clean him out, and I definitely will clean it out every night, they never, ever do.
No,
and I mean, you never have that because your kids haven't actually directly asked for any of the pets. But ultimately, it falls on the parents' shoulders, doesn't it? Everything. The feeding, the cleaning, the this, the that.
Bring
cats
them back
are good
to
for
life.
Cleaning. I mean, our cat... Does
you
use
say
a...
that though? They shit in a like a sandpit.
Well, not anymore.
Why?
Well, he does it outside somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's another reason I hate cats. They shit in other people's gardens. At least dogs shit in their own gardens.
That's true. That's true. That is true. Yeah.
Someone else is clearing up your cat doo-doo.
Fish, man. Fish have a... They're rubbish. Fish are rubbish. Just stare at fish. We had some fish. We had next door's fish. They emptied their pond and found fish in the bottom of it. Black.
Oh, God.
Goldfish. And they went, we've just emptied the pond. We didn't think we had any fish left, but we've got these black things. Do you want them? Literally, they gave them us in a tub. They'd basically been to the pet store, bought everything, put these fish in it, and came to the door and made a load of noise. So all the kids came running over and went, would you like these fish? We found them in the pond. Well, can't exactly turn them down. The kids are like, oh, can we? Yes, we? Oh, yes, we want them. We want them. So anyway, we ended up with these three black fish, which over the course of the next couple of months turned yellow, then gold, they turned from blackfish to goldfish.
Wow.
And then they turned silver, and then they pretty much went translucent and died.
And then they died.
So they went through a full spectrum. The colours of the rainbow from near death to death.
Wow. But you wouldn't suggest fish. I think fish are actually, you think they're simple, but they are actually a faff because you've got to get pumps and then the glass goes all green. Like our glass at the moment, it's a good job one of my fish is blind because it wouldn't be able to see anyway. It's you know, like in Finding Nemo, that fish tank, when the pump gets turned up, that's what our fish tank looks like at the moment.
Also, You've got to become a flipping sixth form chemistry student to have fish because you can't just give it tap water. You've got to test the levels.
pH
and
balance, So, okay, so we're ruling out fish.
Fish are done.
Cats. I'm going to say no to cats because although you've been lucky with Ozzy, I just don't think cats can be trusted around kids. If you imagine you had a baby in its little Moses basket, and you had a cat, it would probably just go up and shit on its head.
Sit on its face.
So I think we've got to veto cats. Dogs.
Do you know what it is for me?
It's another child.
It's another child.
Yeah. I want to tell everyone to get a dog. And to be fair, most people have got dogs during lockdown. But it is another child.
Can't go on holiday.
No, I know. We forget all the time. We book holidays or you book weekends away and you organise the kids and then you go, oh, fuck the dog. We haven't got anyone to have the dog. We forget all the time. Like, as much as it pains me, I'm going to say maybe don't get a dog until your kids are older or unless you've really got someone who wants to look after your dog as well, like a dog share. So as much as it pains me, I think we're going to have to take dogs off the pets list. Not long term, but don't just turn up at a pet shop like I do and buy a dog.
And I will say this, for all my hatred of dogs, which I don't really hate them that much, I will get one. You're right. The moment the kids are gone, I'm getting a dog.
You shouldn't get a dog.
Can't wait.
You go away too much.
No, I'll be old by then and retired and in debt.
get one when you're old.
I'll need something to share the grief with.
Well, I've already vetoed gerbils. Yeah. They're really lovely to watch. They're really busy and they're nice and apparently they're really clever and I don't mind that they look like rats. I think rats are quite cool. But for kids, they're a no.
Can't do anything with them.
Absolutely can't do anything with them. The only good thing about them is they're a bit quieter than hamsters.
Their noise levels are less.
Yeah, so if they were going to score any points, that would be it. Rabbits.
You have to clean them out. Oh, it's such a faff, isn't it?
But I think rabbits are good because they're big, so they're a bit easy to handle than, say, hamsters.
Can I
stuff.
Add to this very quickly? You say they're easy to handle. When we first got rabbits, we got two dwarf rabbits for Lila. Our first house had a walled garden, so they couldn't get out. So actually, we just let them run free, and they loved it, and it was great, and they'd go... Turned them feral, though, didn't it? They went back to, like, full DNA reset. They were as wild.
Digging.
Yeah, digging the ground. They wouldn't sleep in the hutch. They'd go out and they'd dig down and try and do a burrow. They wouldn't let you pick them up. They'd bite, scratch. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, they were evil things by the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Guinea pigs.
Rubbish.
Oh!
There's only got to be a plane pass overhead and they have a heart attack and die. Scared of their own shadow.
Are they?
Yeah, they're terrible.
Guinea pigs.
You pick one up, it's like holding a 70-year-old man's head in your hands. It's just their skin and bone and wiry. And they quiver.
Yeah, they do. It's the noise. That have said that, if we're going to give some marks, they're going to score quite low because of the amount of noise they make.
Yeah.
They're so loud. That was what we had when we had Joey constantly. So that is annoying.
Yeah.
Oh God, we're running out of pets. And I'm a big, big hamster advocate, but you've got to hold them all the time. So they're nice.
Really?
Yeah. I think the best pet to get is a hamster or a rabbit. And then I think that depends your choice. Okay, we're getting people to their final choices now.
Yeah.
It is hamster versus rabbit. And I think it depends on space. Do you have a garden that a hutch will go in?
Correct.
Then you can have a rabbit. If you don't, go for a hamster.
Unless you've got a cat like Ozzy, then don't get a hamster.
Don't get anything.
Don't get anything.
No.
And of course, if you enjoy Friday nights with a bottle of blue WKD, then get a snake.
Oh, yeah. God, we haven't even gone on to reptiles.
Mate, we haven't even touched reptiles yet, but we'll save that for episode two. Pets 2.
Pets 2. Great film, Pets. Do you think we've been helpful or have we completely put people off?
I think we've probably put people off, to be honest.
That might be helpful. Oh, can I give people a little thing to do this week?
Yeah.
Okay. This week, so my mate Jess has got this little funny little dog. I don't even know what breed it is. And it's called Elton John. I'm not sure if it's gay, but I think it is. Jess is quite camp. And she said to me, Lauren, have you ever given Jessie a round of applause? And I said, no. She went, because we gave Elton a round of applause today and it was really, really quite funny. So give Jessie a round of applause and send me the video. So I said to the kids, I went, right, I'm going to count to three. And after three, just all of you just stare at Jessie and just stop whooping and clapping at her. It was absolutely hysterical. So if
anyone... Did you film it?
I filmed it.
Get it on our Instagram.
I'm going to get it on our Instagram. Anyone who's got a dog this week, film yourself giving your dog a round of applause. Tag us in it at Reluctant Adults. It's really funny. Send them in to us.
What is it? I want to know what she does.
She did this. Oh! Oh!
Did she She like joined in.
She like, it's like she was stood there at first in absolute shock, and then was like, why is everyone making so much noise? And then just started going, oh. Funny. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. And thanks to everyone who got in touch with us saying, where were you last week? I went on Friday to check and I couldn't find the episode. What's happened? So it's nice that you missed us. It's nice, isn't it? And sorry we couldn't do one last week, but we are back.
We're back and better than a heart attack.
Thank you, Tim. So if you enjoy our podcast, please go over to Apple Podcasts. If you've got them, scroll down and leave a little review for us. That would be ace.
Yeah, it really does help us climb the podcast ladder. And while you're there, if you know any parents, just give it a share, maybe mention. Like we said before, at the school gates, you could just mention, say, have you had a listen to this? Because that's always nice, and word of mouth really helps us out. And don't forget, get in touch if you've got a story, any comments, queries, questions, anything. Join us over at Instagram, as Lauren said. We are at Reluctant Adults.
We will see you next week. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.